From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March the 12th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
When will we see the first true GIS app? Who will build it? What will it do? Can it replace the desktop, and should it? Do you know the answer? Well, we'll take our shot at answering those questions, but first a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19th, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundogeo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions.
Well, Adina, there are 775,000 apps in the Apple App Store, 700,000 apps developed for the Android operating system. These numbers come courtesy of a series of articles that recently appeared in the Wall Street Journal, something that it frames as the app economy. Maybe it's useful, though, to start with a definition. Wikipedia says a mobile application is a software application designed to run on a smartphone, tablet, computers, or other mobile devices. They are usually available through application distribution platforms, which are typically operated by the owner of mobile operating systems, such as the Apple App Store, Google Play, Windows Phone, etc. Some apps are free, while others must be bought. The journal puts the global App Store revenue at $15 billion in 2012, projected to go to $74 billion by 2016. Now, a quick check of the apps under the heading Geospatial in the Apple App Store reveal mostly viewers and field data collection solutions like taking a photo, attaching a lat long. If you look at the description of ArcGIS for the iOS platform, you can do some additional things like linear measurement. But apps that will do thematic mapping, buffer zone, create a spatial query, those I haven't really seen. And maybe it's also useful to define what we would consider, or that's what I would consider, GIS. I do like the Esri definition. A GIS should do, here are the following bullet points, map quantities, map densities, find what's inside, find what's nearby, and mapping change, as well as finding things of where they are. It's some really quick and dirty ways to define GIS. So taking those definitions, shouldn't we expect GIS functionality to move to tablets? I mean, that is the rage these days. One of the things that, again, according to the journal articles, that it is recommended for app developers to use the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple. Do only a few things and do them right. Another might be to make it free or 99 cents, but the model may be changing. We're seeing apps for $999. That's the most you can charge for an app in the Apple App Store. So can an app such as might be designed for the tablet replace the desktop, and should it? So, Adina, I'm going to stop there. Get your thoughts on, can GIS move to a tablet?
Can it? Absolutely. Will it? Slowly. And I think you need to go back to the comment that you made about the current state of GIS apps, which are very much viewing, doing some light data entry or some light editing, right? We were doing that on mobile tablets, although they weren't half as elegant as the ones we have now, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
1995, I recall being at a conference, and I was working for Bentley at the time, and I was demonstrating MicroStation Field on one of those bulky pen-based computers, and we were doing all that stuff. Now, the biggest difference between those and what we have today, certainly today's are lighter and faster and everything, today's have a GPS chip in it. I don't believe that one did.
That mobile form factor that we have now is enticing a lot of people to send their laptops away and go almost solely to that wonderful piece of flat glass that we are embracing as the tablet. My question is whether the functionality can move and the human ergonomics about it would facilitate the same types of stuff you would do at a keyboard. And that's my issue with moving things completely to a tablet at this point.
So the user interface, the user interaction?
Yeah, let's just take the keyboards that you see on tablets, whether you're at a 10-inch or a 7-inch. I find it difficult to use. I think the design of how we interact with a tablet and get the same type of functionality that we would sitting at a desktop must radically change. Either that or the designers themselves have to take an entirely different approach towards allowing the user to ask those questions, map the quantities, map the densities, whatever that may be. The design has to be radically different.
I completely agree, but I would argue that the UI of most desktop products is pretty bad. So we're lousy on the desktop, on the laptop, and we're not so great on the tablet. But I don't think that's the fundamental issue. I think if we really wanted to, we could make these things work, and you could use your pull-down menus with your finger for ArcGIS if you want. I think the real issue is, do we want to do that kind of work in those mobile environments? Because let's take a little snapshot of where we are today in 2013. People have iPads. What do they do on them?
Not much.
But what do they do on them?
Well, it's reading, it's playing games, it's doing email. It's typical stuff that you would do sitting in a desk chair.
Right, but lightweight utility kind of stuff. Managing your life, maybe responding to email for business, maybe. So I'm thinking about the really crunchy things that I do, like editing this podcast with Audacity. Mm-hmm. That's a big program. It's crunchy. It's technical. I do that on my laptop, which is plenty powerful for it. Would I do it on a tablet? Maybe, especially since I only do it once or twice a week.
Yeah. But I would submit to you that it takes an entirely different way of design. And one of the other infographics that they showed on the Wall Street Journal series of articles was that people who were doing app development are, number one, most of them are 29 years or younger. They have 2 years or less experience in developing these apps. So these are people that may not have come from the true software development side, that they're maybe taking an entirely different approach towards design. And I think that's where it starts. I think that the interfaces, like you said, have to be radically changed. I will say that I did a webinar a couple of weeks ago with a company called Galileo. They were doing their demo on a Apple emulator so that we could see it online. They have a pretty good approach towards funneling a person through a menu-driven system to get to an answer. I would say that's the good side. The bad side is it's still a menu-driven system, and so it takes its design history from a desktop solution. So I think it was a nice incremental step that they were presenting, and I would encourage people to watch it. But I think it's going to take a different person coming from a different background to design anything where we would take GIS to a tablet.
Right, and I think the same thing is happening in other arenas. I spend a lot of time keeping an eye on the education industry. And if you look at 99% of the geography games, you're doing geography flashcards. You might be doing with your finger, what's the capital of North Dakota, or slide the shape of North Dakota onto the map. But we really haven't changed anything. We're doing what we used to do with wooden puzzles, but on a piece of glass.
Right.
So we've really got to get beyond that. And it's starting. And I haven't seen it in geography, but I have seen it in mathematics. There's a terrific tool that teaches fractions called Motion Math. And you actually tilt the iPad to move things on screen. And honest to goodness, it teaches you math. I will put a link to that in the show notes. But let's get back to the other fundamental issue of these apps for GIS, and that comes down to demand. As much as we like to think that everybody in the world wants to do analytics and map quantities and make choropleth maps and do on-the-fly spatial queries, the reality is most of us want a quick and dirty map, right? So we want 20% of the functionality that comes with an ArcGIS or a Google Earth or any piece of software you'd like. And that's the 20% that I think we already have on the tablets. It's the viewing, it's the lightweight editing, it's the data collection.
So essentially what you're saying is that we're already there with the extent that we can bring some functionality down to a mobile tablet.
You don't think
we can get anything more than that?
Oh, no. We absolutely can. But the demand is for that 20%, and that's what's already we've already got.
Yeah.
Right? So let's go back to the App Store and the how many applications are there? 700,000?
700,000 for just the Apple Store alone. Yeah.
Okay. And how many of those are $1,000?
I'm thinking if I read the article, it's like under 20. It wasn't
like,
very...
Like 30 is the number I'm remembering, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And, okay, so what warrants a $1,000 price tag in the App Store?
And yeah, a very niche product,
Niche, and the closest one from the examples that were given is... one for piano tuners.
Yeah, I know. It was
right?
Great.
So apparently it listens to the note and tells you which way it is. And then, but you can't use this unless you're a piano tuner, right? You have to be highly trained. You probably have to have a pretty good ear. I would think you'd have a decent ear anyway, but this is even better, right? And then, and people buy this. And there aren't that many piano tuners out in the world. But I think that's very comparable to the people who need to do that very high level of GIS. And then you have to take from that, unlike piano tuners who travel all over to the piano, people who do GIS don't have to travel all over to go to the data, right? Because the data is on the internet.
Right. And unless we create a new job category for the mobile GIS person who goes around helping people out at their local business with the GIS functionality.
But even if they do that, they won't do that on their tablet. They will do it at the people's on the people's own hardware that's sitting there.
Well, maybe, but there are people who you want to use their brain power. Now, whether they bring a laptop or a tablet, I don't want to get too far afield. I think there could be some jobs with some functionality that can move to a tablet that you could actually pay somebody to come in and support you. Whether they would actually use a laptop versus a tablet when they went to support somebody, I don't know. It's questionable. I guess the other point that I really wanted to make was back to what you said about being a highly trained individual and what would be the tool that they would use to bring in. What I was getting at, my real point is that the price point of those upper end apps, the $999, were approaching what desktop mapping software was originally, which was in that $700 to $900 when it first came out on a Windows platform. So if you had the true functionality of GIS now brought down to a tablet, that might be the price point at which you would have a mobile based GIS app.
I think that's about right. And the real question is, is there enough demand for that to make it worthwhile for either a new player to come in and build that new app or for an organization like ESRI to make that an app for its users?
Well, we'll leave our discussion there. That's all the time we have for today. From us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to remind you that our Location Intelligence Conference will be May 21st and 22nd. It's combined with the Oracle Spatial and Graph User Conference in Washington, D.C. at the Reagan Building. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net, where the full agenda is now online. Our keynote speaker will be Jack Levis from UPS. He's got some interesting ideas about logistics. Hope you'll join us. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, tweet us at directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.